You are now about to witness the strength of big lobbies.
It is my other world, and here he is, political analyst for CLTV and WGN Television.
Indeed.
Yeah, you interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
You haven't
gotten to me yet. You haven't even said my name. Don't even start with the old.
The very old friend of mine, Mr. Paul Lisnick.
Doctor.
You are. Explain the doctor part.
What? You know, I bought the title. There's that guy who can make you a minister or a doctor. No, you know, I have a PhD. I actually worked on one of those, wrote a whole thing.
You did write. What was it about?
I did. Oh, man. It was, so the field was legal communication, and I wrote about depositions.
You're a lawyer, too, which I don't know the people.
I haven't practiced in many years, but I did. But yeah. And I was a law professor for a while, so there's that part of me. Jury consultant, even. Lots of stuff before I ever became the political analyst over at WGN TV.
And what people may not know is you travel around the country talking to students.
Yeah, they don't listen. That's a good way to put it. I taught, nobody listens. I do in a variety of ways. I talk to law students. I teach the bar review course. Mm-hmm. So as they're getting ready to take the bar review, I teach them constitutional law and ethics. Amazing, right? Given our history, why I'd be teaching ethics. But anyway, but I do that. And then I teach a lot of high school programs, leadership kids in the summer, and teach them effective communication. So it's always a good idea to kind of keep in touch with real people out there. You know, this media thing, microphones and cameras, that's really fun and it's really great, but sometimes it's fun to actually talk to real people.
Well, that's a good tie-in, because who are these people running for office really talking to? Are they talking to the media? Are they talking to the voters? I sometimes wonder.
I think it's – we never said my name. Should we say who I am?
I did say your name.
You did?
I think
no,
so.
You didn't. No.
Who are you? This is Paul Lisnick. If I didn't say his name, really?
No, I interrupted you before you got there.
Okay. So should we start all over?
No.
This is Paul Lisnick, who is with CLTV and WGN Television, covering what must be the most exciting political campaign for president that we've seen in a very long time.
Steve, it's the most unusual campaign there's ever been. There is no analyst out there or commentator or anybody else who would tell you that they have witnessed anything like this in our lifetimes. And we're, of course, talking about Donald Trump when we say this.
Well, I think Bernie Sanders, I think some of the others who have now dropped out. So my question was...
Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders represents, there's such a thing as, politicians who strike a chord. I mean, I can make an argument that Bernie Sanders, while he's, really interesting in the way he's getting the youth vote and all that and the interest, I can make an argument that that's not the shock of the season. Donald Trump, this business guy who comes out of nowhere, who says the most outrageous, insulting, things that anybody else would have been out of this race in 3 seconds with half the stuff that he said, is done as he has done in this race. That, to me, is why this is an experience no one's ever seen.
Okay, so early on in the campaign, Trump would say one thing, and everyone would say, you'd come on television, but your colleagues would do the same thing and say, he's out of it. And people would say, just talking around the coffee machine, he's out of it. And then 2 weeks later, he'd say something else. 2 days later, he'd say something else. He's out of it. And look where he is now. Every time he said something that was so appalling, so over the top, that everyone said, he's out of it. The poll numbers went up.
It's amazing, right? He's insulted women, and he wins with women. Hispanics, look, he wants to get every illegal, right, 12 million people out of the country, and yet he does. So here's the thing. That's why analysts, people who look at this stuff, and I was one. Listen, I came a little closer because my comment early on was he'll make it through the early primaries and then he'll be gone. Most people never thought he would get that far, so I'll take a little credit on that one. But there was nobody that I can think of who said, "Oh no, watch this guy. He's here to stay." And for the reason I said, which is because you can't talk about Mexico is selling is sending people over here and they're murderers and they're rapists and survive this thing in a race. He is striking a chord. He is for whatever reason striking a chord that and not with those comments necessarily. I think people are willing to forgive him those comments. They're willing to overlook the really outrageous stuff that he says and basically go, what I like about him, he is not a politician. He is different. He speaks his mind. He's going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it, right? I work with people. I know people who are Trump supporters and I've asked them, can you tell me what particular policies of Trump's, they can't answer the question. And I'm serious, Steve. They're just like, I like the guy.
So
that's
it's his,
what he's got.
So it's his persona.
There's no question. He's the charismatic nature of who he is, just the way he is in front of a crowd.
But other candidates are charismatic. And I'm not talking only about this year's campaign.
Well, Barack Obama was charismatic.
Yeah.
He became president for two terms. So there you go.
Right. But other people along the way have been, too, that haven't done nearly as well as Trump. And they haven't said the things Trump has said, which is absolutely politically incorrect,
well, because
as incorrect as you can get. Yet every time he does that, he does better. So what chord is he striking? Is it hatred?
Is it anger? It is anger. It's anger and frustration. And I also think it's this outsider notion. Look, that's where Bernie Sanders comes in, okay? You know, Bernie Sanders has the support
and
he has.
And Ben Carson, who was doing well for a while,
sure.
same phenomenon?
It's that actually, for quite a while on the Republican side, anybody who wasn't serving in Congress, Carly Fiorina, they all had their moment at the top, and none of them were in fact, who were the lowest people in the polls? Jeb Bush, politician, Chris Christie, politician, right? They couldn't break out. John Kasich, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the certainly the most moderate of all of them, and even he just can't break out really in any kind of significant way over time, although he still thinks, you know, it will be his. The one I find really interesting too is Ted Cruz, because here's Ted Cruz who always says, you know, I'm not part of the establishment. You're a United States senator, dude. You know, I understand that you vote for government shutdowns and you read Green Eggs and Ham on the Senate floor, but you are a United States senator. You are a part of the establishment. Donald Trump is the only one who gets to truly say and mean that I am an outsider.
Having said that, though, he is a pariah senator. All the other senators,
true.
I mean, there are senators who have said, as I understand it, you know what? As much as I hate, and I do hate Donald Trump, I actually prefer Trump over Cruz.
Well, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said, if somebody shot and killed Ted Cruz on the floor of the Senate and you had a trial, nobody would get convicted.
There you go.
So, you know, yes.
So what is it about Cruz? Is it his face?
You mean there are the comparisons to Grandpa Munster. You do see that a lot.
Yes. No,
it's his views. I mean, it's always about views and his persona and demeanor. He's not a go-along-to-get-along guy. He's happy to vote for shutdown. So, the concern for Ted Cruz is if he is president, who's he working with? They all claim, I can work with everybody. I work across the aisle. He doesn't have a history, really, of doing that. You know, he has a history of saying, I do what I say. And if I say it, you can count on it. And there are people who are very intrigued. Let's face it, he's doing well, too, right? There are people who are intrigued by that as an approach. But, you know, Washington is a real game. Donald Trump can – you know, let me give you an example. Donald Trump says, I can strike deals. I'm going to pick a company
mm-hmm.
who's leaving the country, right? But they've never had a call from the president of the United States, right? We just let them go because we don't know what we're doing. So I, Donald Trump, the president, am going to call the head of Nabisco. You pick the company that's leaving. And I'm going to tell them they're not leaving. Well, now think about it. So what's he going to say? Because President Trump is calling you, okay, Mr. President, we're not going to leave the country. No, the comment from the president of the company is going to be, well, Mr. President, what are you going to do for us? Well, I'm going to strike tax deals for you. Exactly. And that's what keeps those folks in the country anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a deal maker. He's the art of the deal.
Is he really, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he says he is. I mean, that's his thing. My point is—
But there's a difference between making a deal in private business, I suspect, and making a deal with a foreign country.
No question about it.
So could he? And is there really, well, you partially answered, is there a difference? And if so, can he navigate that difference?
I think it's pretty clear, and President Obama has made it clear, Hillary Clinton, his former Secretary of State, has made it clear, that they have heard, these are their words, that they have heard from a significant number of world leaders essentially asking the question, what are you people thinking over there? Now, I'm not making an anti-Trump, remember, I'm not a commentator, and I should distinguish that. Commentators are people who have a position, right? You're a Republican, you're a Democrat, no matter what that's not what I do for WGN or for CNN. TV. I am an analyst, so it is my job. I know people hear it the way they want to hear it. So if your listeners right now are, you know, liberal or conservative, they're either hearing me because they like me and I sound like I'm supporting them, or they don't like me and therefore I'm against them. But it's not me, it's them. All right? The people hear things the way they want. It is my job to remain as neutral as I can. So when I say that people are calling the president and Hillary Clinton and saying, what are you people doing over there? That's not, I'm not judging Trump. I'm simply saying world leaders are very concerned that somebody who has as little foreign experience, as little interaction, who thinks the world is building a hotel, that is – he said it. I built hotels. I can build a wall because I build hotels.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like he thinks he's just going to run the next country. Well, we're not going to talk about state politics, but let's be honest. Governor Rauner seems to think running the state of Illinois can be done successfully by running it like one of his very successful companies. And it just doesn't work that way. The government is not a company. People's lives are at stake. Relationships are at stake. Nuclear bombs are at stake. Wars are at stake. You don't run the world like you are running General Motors.
Do people... I don't want to put you in the position of being pro or con here based on what you just said.
Oh, I won't do it
but
anyway.
Why don't people know that then?
Why don't they know what?
What you just said. Why is he still getting the votes?
Well, I think you have a disparate number, not desperate, disparate number of people in terms of how informed and educated they are. Look, if
desperate might be right too.
Well, it might be. Well, look, if I'm very conservative and my news source is solely Fox News, or if I'm liberal and my news my news source is solely MSNBC, then I see the world the way I see the world, and I get fed my view of the world from the very people. So it's true.
But what
Fox is saying and MSNBC is saying.
But what
true.
If you? But what if you are extremely conservative? What if you are a member of the Tea Party? Trump's not your guy. But he kind of has been.
Well,
so.
Actually, if you're a Tea Partier, I mean, that was, or you're an evangelical, those are the folks Ted Cruz is actually hoping to go after. And yet,
you would
think. In those southern primaries of weeks ago, it was Donald Trump who did very well.
So why?
There's something functioning, Steve, beyond just the policies and the views.
But the thing now is Trump, to me, you're the expert here, but to me, seems to be already looking forward and moderating some of his social positions a bit.
He is. Not only is he doing that, I've said on the air for weeks to watch that happen. And I had viewers, I would get emails or, you know, people, you know how people they hear things. And they're saying, what are you talking about? He's not moderating his views. And how can he do it? You can't. You can't do what he's been doing and all of a sudden sound presidential and moderate. Well, absolutely you can. And he will. And by the way, it's not the magic of Donald Trump. Every candidate, look, you got to win the primaries before you can get to the general.
Mm-hmm.
And so every candidate in the primaries on the Republican side has to look far more conservative than they really might be. And the same thing for Democrats. They have to look far more progressive than they really might be. Then they get to the general and they moderate to the middle. This is what happens every election.
Right.
I'm not Kreskin here. You will see it happen again.
Ooh,
and the thing,
who?
I know. It depends on the viewer you're listening.
You
look up Kreskin,
dated yourself
Google
there.
Google Kreskin.
Yes.
K-R-E-S-K-I-N. He's one of those great mentalists. He's still around.
Okay.
But anyway, so what's going to happen in the general is pretty soon all those crazy things Trump has said in the past, you know, channels may play them. MSNBC might play them. But perhaps watch Fox play the recent things he's saying. And the conversation will be, look, this is the real Donald Trump. That other guy, he was trying to win the primaries. He was outrageous. This is the real Donald Trump. And with that, the transition will be complete.
But will it? So we get to the Republican convention, and we will get to the Democratic side in a moment. But we get to the Republican convention. This could be crazy. I mean, this could be really, truly of the best week of your life because you have a lot to talk about.
It'll be very dangerous potentially for the Republican Party. It'll be very fun for people like me who cover this stuff. But yeah, I mean, and it's too early to know exactly what will happen as we get closer to July. But I think at the convention, a variety of things can happen, which is that here's what I think. If Trump gets it on the first vote, right?
He's in. Yeah.
If he doesn't, then he's not in. Because there'll be enough of it, because he'll be close enough, either he'll have it or be close enough that really those uncommitted people can put him over and say, let's be done with this. But if there's an effort to make sure that doesn't happen, then he's out.
Here's what no one's talked about that I'm curious what your take is. So there are still delegates there that are committed to candidates who have dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you add up those numbers and Kasich, if they were to all go to Cruz or all go to fill in the blank, but I suppose Cruz would be, then Cruz suddenly has as many delegates more or less as Trump.
You know,
is that a
mathematical? It doesn't quite work that way as a mathematical comment. I get it. But for example, what's really in play, you take states like, I'll just pick one at random from all these primaries, but mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, there mm-hmm. was a state that's got 54 delegates and the winner, this would be anybody, you know, the winner of Pennsylvania is going to get 17 of those delegates, but the rest of them are uncommitted. People actually, when they vote in Pennsylvania,
a lot of uncommitted delegates.
They go in,
right.
They're voting for names. They're not even voting for who people support. So I simply point to Pennsylvania as one of many states. We could talk about any of them right now, but that's an example. So really what happens is what Ted Cruz has been doing a much better job of and Trump is trying to learn is go find uncommitted delegates and line them up. Those are the folks you want. The Rubio delegates, for example, the 176.
That's what I'm
so
kind of – that's a significant number.
Rubio has asked his delegates to stay with him. He said, don't leave me because he's looking for leverage at the convention.
Now, that's what I'm going after.
Now, what happens if on the first thing they vote for Rubio as he's asked them to and then it's the second ballot? Well, then they can do whatever they want. Anybody can do whatever they want. It's not a completely accurate statement, but basically by the third ballot, if it gets to that, then delegates can do whatever they want. So that means a Trump delegate could vote for John Kasich if they felt like it.
But also, is this a game of chess? So if Trump were to say to Rubio, be my vice president, now he has Rubio's delegates.
Sure, it is a game of chess. It's why Hillary Clinton won Wyoming weeks ago, right? Sorry, let me take that back. Sorry. Bernie Sanders won Wyoming weeks ago significantly, right? By, 12, 15 points. She won more delegates. What? Because the game is a bit rigged with superdelegates and how people vote.
So Trump is right after all?
Oh, Trump is right.
It is rigged.
Question. When I say rigged, by the way, I know rigged sounds like that's terrible. I'm not even making a judgment call about it, but it's rigged. it's rigged. And it's because you have to know how to play the game. You just said chess.
Uh-huh.
You absolutely have to know how to play the game. Cruz has been very smart. Cruz went off to Colorado where they don't even have a primary, don't even have a caucus. They just elect delegates at this convention. Everybody gets to get up and like give a 10-second speech, literally a 10-second speech, and they vote. Cruz is out there working it, getting those people behind him. It is a game of chess, and it's a game of chess that Cruz has played better than Trump. It's why he's been so strong as a challenger as this goes through. Donald Trump just seemed to naively think, if more people vote for me, I get to be the nominee. It doesn't work that way.
Well,
should, but it doesn't.
I don't know how he can think that because he's running for president. And if I know it, how can Trump not know it?
Well,
but
his kids not be registered. They can't even vote for their father. I mean, sometimes because you know what? Most people, I think, would tell you that when this all started for Donald Trump back on June 16th, I think it was.
Do you think he's surprised even?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I think he did this. I don't think he ever expected this to happen. I think he thought he'd run for president and watch it for a little while and have a little fun. But then this got way beyond his expectations.
All right, so we get to the Republican convention. If on the first ballot, the first time around, he doesn't get in, Mr. Trump,
then all bets are off. Then he's not going to get in.
Then who would?
Well, it's either going to be
Could it still be Trump?
It could be Paul Ryan. It could be anybody. And I know Paul Ryan has said a million times no.
How about Romney and Ryan?
Could be anybody.
Do you believe their no's?
Well, let me put it no. I don't believe anybody's no. In fact, Stephen Colbert, if you watch Colbert's show one night in the past, he had Paul Ryan. It was really good. People should just go look at that on YouTube, wherever you find that on YouTube.
Sure.
Where he said, "So are you going to run?" He says, "No." He goes, "But you're open to it." He said, no. He goes no, 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 no. So that's a double no. That's a yes. I mean, no matter what Ryan said, he just said, but what you're really saying is it's going to be a yes.
I don't know about that.
There seems to be a sense. They've done some polls, and Republicans seem to believe that the person they want to be their candidate, their nominee, needs to at least be somebody who's been running for it. So there seems to be some sense amongst the leaders of the Republican Party. It's got to at least be one of these people who's been looking for it.
Is that why Kasich's hanging out so
Absolutely.
Long?
Absolutely. Kasich thinks that he is the moderate guy. He's the one that you put into an election. Polls show he can beat Hillary Clinton.
Well, so there's some truth to that.
There is truth to that. So that's why Kasich says, even though I've only won one state, don't hold that against me. I can beat Hillary Clinton. So he's hanging in there he's got fewer delegates than Marco Rubio. And Marco Rubio ain't even in the race.
So can you make a prediction? Are you allowed?
Well, I'm allowed to do it, but I'm not comfortable. I had somebody recently on my show who I had to throw a quote at him. He once said, I don't know who the Republican nominee is going to be, but it'll never be Donald Trump. And he kind of had to eat those words. As we talk now, my sense is I still think Trump probably pulls it off because there's enough. He's got enough going on, enough tricks up his sleeve to kind of make that happen. But if he doesn't get it, I'm not going to say I told you. You can't say you told you so.
If it doesn't happen, then is there an implosion really within the Republican Party?
Well, it depends how it happens. I mean, if Trump doesn't get it, and he just doesn't have the numbers, and he's nowhere near it.
He's going to be near it.
Then it's a fair game. Well, it depends what near is. Is he needs 1237? Is 1200 near? Sure. Is 1100?
Well, he's still going to be near it.
Is 1000?
He's
near. Is 1,000 near it if your closest person is at 700? What is near? That's going to be the battle they have to fight. And it's going to be a battle of perception. And that will be part of the argument. But I think most people believe that if Trump does get up into that 1,200 world,
yeah,
then it's probably his.
But what if there is an implosion? Then is the race lost even before it started? Against-
well, I think most, if you go to most Republicans currently or in modern times, they would basically say to you that the reason they're for Cruz is they think that they're going to lose. They will lose the White House under Trump or Cruz. They believe that typically, but they think there'll be less collateral damage. There'll be less collateral damage under Ted Cruz than there would be under Donald Trump.
All right, let's give the Democrats a fair shake here.
Okay.
Is Hillary in?
Yeah. Yes.
So why does Bernie Sanders hang out? So he gets a say-so in the platform?
That's exactly why he's hanging on. Bernie Sanders wants to basically, he won't drop out till May. He's raising a lot of money. He's got no reason to go anywhere. He'll hang in there until June.
He's not tired?
Well, he may be, but he's also having the time of his life.
You think?
So I think this is all about getting Clinton to adopt some proposals. There'll be some discussions between them. And as far as what she's willing to do, what she's willing to adopt, he'll get a prime speaking spot at the convention. That's what it's all about. Now, whether there's any promise for him in a Clinton administration cabinet, I don't know. You know, is he ready to give up being senator and do something in terms of a cabinet? And if so, does he want to do something in housing and urban development? Does he want to take over an Elizabeth Warren kind of, work with an Elizabeth Warren kind of effort in terms of dealing mm-hmm. with big banks? You know, what kind of deal can be struck is the question.
And for Hillary Clinton, is she sort of then a shoo-in? On the Democratic side?
I am willing to say that. Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic nominee. And listen, I have lots of friends who are Bernie supporters. They get very angry when I say that. But look at Bernie's momentum. It doesn't matter. The system is the way it is. She's got almost all the superdelegates behind her. She simply gets it. Even where she is now, it shouldn't be, it won't be too long after we're doing this podcast that one might hear that, it's a done deal.
So we talked about how the Republican Party may implode upon itself. Democratic Party, same issue?
No, they're coming together. No.
Yeah.
As soon as Bernie Sanders finally decides it's a done deal, then he will, you will see. As Hillary Clinton, she hung around till June, too.
Yes, she did.
Until she had to give that great speech where she said, we've made 8 million breaks in the glass ceiling or whatever she said. Bernie Sanders ultimately will come around. He will ultimately stand behind her because that tends to be what the Democrats will do. Now, I can't guarantee it, but I'll be very surprised if that's not what happens.
And she did get quite a very nice role in the White House, right? She was Secretary of
Worked
State.
Worked out for her.
Yeah, it sure did. So I'll ask the last question. We never got to the answer of the first question, so this will be my last question.
Okay.
Is some of this for the media now, today in 2016, some of the performing, and is performing really the right word?
Well, let's just say it's all for voters because they need votes. But Donald Trump knows better than anybody how to work the media, right? He spent 3 cents in his campaign. He doesn't have to. He can self-fund his campaign because anytime he opens his mouth, every camera is there.
So they say historically the Kennedy campaign and those debates changed it all.
That was the first of the media campaigns.
Right. Has this been a change as well? Forever, it will be play to the cameras in a different way than what's been done for the past 25, 35 years?
Well, I think the answer is partially less, but the reason is not so much that it's Kennedy versus today. It's what we have now today. We have 24-hour political channels, right? I mean, they're news channels, but those Foxes and CNNs and MSNBCs are all politics all the time unless something happens.
I mean, you follow, I assume, everyone's Twitter feed, and they do it. These candidates are doing
it every two minutes. They're using the social media every way they possibly can. That's the game. Does Donald Trump doing his own tweets? They asked him that. He said, I yell things out and somebody puts it on. So, they understand how the world is working. The real issue is, of course, it is younger people who live in that world more than older people, but it's older people who tend to vote more than younger people. So whether the results play out, I think, in time, in a generation, we see those folks who are young now, as they get older and become more stringent on their voting, it's just the world that we live in.
From a man who's already older, it is Paul Lisnick. When can people see you?
Hey, they can see Politics Tonight every weeknight at 5:30 on CLTV. We stream live as well at WGNTV.com. Then it gets a little tough. /Politics-Tonight-Live-Stream. It's Politics Tonight live stream with a hyphen in between each word after WGNTV.com.
Or just Google it or see it later.
Or just watch it online, or we also repeat at 10 o'clock. And so, hey, you were there when Lincoln became president. I should have asked you whether you feel it's different now from Lincoln's days, but we can do that on another podcast.
He is my very old friend.
I was going to get the last word in.
he tries to.
You're the host. I can't get the last word in.
That's the point. Mr. Paul Lisnick, thank you very much. Dr. Mr. Paul Lisnick, is that better?
Thank you, Steve.
Your Holiness, thank you very much.
Bye.